After I became a Christian, I developed schizophrenia. Did God not honor his promises?
Do aborted babies go directly to heaven?
We have invited our guests to answer these questions and more. So stay with us. I'm Ruben Covarrubias.
And I'm Crystal Lewis. Bible Help Desk is just getting started.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk. You know, Crystal, sometimes some people see questioning faith as if they're questioning authority.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes some people think it's a bad thing.
And that's not necessarily the case, because if you have a genuine question, it can truly uplift your faith.
I agree with that, Ruben. You see, challenging our faith can put us on a pathway to deeper understanding and a closer relationship with the Lord, because he wants to give us answers. So if you have a Bible question, don't forget to submit them. Bible Help Desk is here for you. You can text us or call in with your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or send it in via Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. And remember, don't forget to leave us an email so that we can contact you back. So Ruben, who's joining us today?
Well, I'm excited because we have a first-time guest joining us, who is Pastor Josias Flores. Pastor Flores joins us today from the mountains of Western North Carolina, where he currently pastors in Boone and Banner Elk. He has a passion for authentic connections in faith communities, as well as open conversations about faith and holistic well-being. Pastor Flores, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Also joining us today is Professor Alicia Patterson. Professor Patterson is an assistant professor at Advent Health University. She is also a certified Kessler grief educator, a certified grief coach, and a grief recovery specialist with her business, Confluence Grief and Loss Coaching. She also has served as a pastor and a church planter. Welcome, Professor Patterson.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Well, I want to share today's verse, and it's found in Jeremiah 17, verse 14. And it says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise." I just really love this text on how it focuses on the praise after God has saved us and healed us. And there's so many things in our world that we pray for, but being able to just get on this promise and understand that God wants to save us, God wants to heal us, but overall, we just want to praise him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come together and just open up your word and learn more about you. Please guide these conversations, these questions, and be with our viewers that they may see you through these answers. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Crystal, let's go ahead and jump into our questions.
Let's go ahead. Our first question comes to us via email from Chris. And the question says, "Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And in the Old Testament, God said to the Jews through Moses, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. After I became a Christian, I developed schizophrenia, a psychotic disease that is devastating to the sufferer. I couldn't hold down a job, and I was a vagabond for a time. It all turned around when I was diagnosed and took antipsychotic medication. Now I hold down a job and have a wife and two kids. It is still a struggle as the medication is not perfect. Considering the above scripture, I feel that God did not honor his promise, but I could be wrong. How would you wrestle with the situation if you were in my shoes?" Mm. Wow, Pastor Flores, we have a very interesting question here from someone who developed a psychotic disease and they feel like God didn't honor their promises. What can we say about this question here?
Well, first of all, Crystal, I would say I'm not a mental health professional, so that's a caveat that I will add there. And to Chris, it sounds like there's a lot of pain there. Someone who has gone through a lot of a really difficult experience. And, you know, Chris, you're not alone. It actually reminds me of a passage in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9. And this is Paul speaking here, and he's talking about his own experience. He says, Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. And as you read the previous verses in this chapter, you find out that this is referring to what he calls his thorn in the flesh. But let's keep on reading. That it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So what was this thorn in the flesh that Paul is talking about? You know, biblical scholars think this is referring to actually a disease or an ailment, a physical ailment that he had that his audience also knew about, but sadly, it's been lost to us through history. Nevertheless, focus on what Paul says here. God's power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is undeterred. So Paul got to the place where he learned to live with this thing that he, you know, prayed that God would take and remove from him. It didn't happen in his own, in the time that Paul wanted it to. And then he came to realize that this could be something where God's power could be displayed. This is not the end of the story. Actually, in the same book, in 2 Corinthians, this time in chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and then verse 5, Paul talks about a future hope, kind of tying in with the promises that you were talking about, Chris. And he says, for we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed. What is he talking about, the tent? As you read chapter 5, the tent is talking about his mortal body. I'll keep reading. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. He who has prepared, now this is verse 5, who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So there's a few things to point out here. Paul is making a parallel between the tent, the earthly home, this mortal body, this flawed body that is riddled with diseases, and he's comparing it to a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he knows that in the future, he is going to have a different body, not a temporal body, a perfect eternal body. He knows that God's promises will come true. And what he says at the end in verse 5 is that the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that coming body. Think of like a down payment for a home. You are promising that you are going to be paying for that home with the down payment. The Holy Spirit is like the down payment that reminds us God's promise is true and he can give us the power to begin to experience that abundant life even today, despite our flawed and mortal bodies.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Flores. And just a quick follow-up. When God doesn't answer our prayers in the time that we want him to answer our prayers, does that also mean that God doesn't honor his promises?
No, actually, the Bible tells us that, you know, some of us think that God is slow to fulfill his promises. But the thing about it is, Crystal, that God's time is different from our time and his time is perfect. So where we are impatient sometimes or think, well, why isn't God moving here? He knows the right time, the exact time when we need what we need. And he fulfills his promises in that time.
Wow. Thank you so much for clarifying that for us and providing these verses that we can look back to for this question. Thank you for that. And Professor Patterson, we want to bring you in on this question. Is there anything else in the Bible that you can point us to? Do you agree with us here?
Well, I love the answer that Pastor Flores gave. And I'm thinking also another thing that Jesus said was, in this world, you will have trouble. Mm. But be encouraged because I've overcome the world. And I just want to say, Chris, he did send you help. He sent you help in one of the ways that he sends us help. Sometimes he does a miracle. Sometimes he prevents something from happening. And sometimes he helps us with the things that he's allowed medical professionals to learn. Hmm. And so I think that you can look at that and say, I can trust God. And he helped me in this instance in a physical way. So, I just wanted to add that.
Thank you for that, Professor Patterson. And sometimes we forget that we are living in answered prayers, but thank you for reminding that to us. Thank you. What's our next question, Ruben?
All right, well, let's jump to our next question that comes to us via text from Gail. And it says, what happens to all of the aborted babies? I believe they go directly to heaven with Jesus because they are innocent. Thank you for that question, Gail. Professor Patterson, I'm going to turn to you. This is a quite difficult topic on a question that we have here, but we're wanting to focus on what happens to the lives here. And what does the Bible say about potentially babies that didn't have time to live?
So the first thing I want to say is if you're watching and if you've had an abortion, there is forgiveness for you. Mm-hmm. There's forgiveness for you. God promised to forgive you. Jesus died to forgive you. And he said he'd throw our sins to the bottom of the sea and as far as the east is from the west. And part of believing God is good is trusting that he can forgive.
Amen.
And to the question of, do aborted babies go to heaven? This falls directly in the camp of things that we don't know for sure, as this is not a question that the Bible addresses. Perhaps the closest thing we have is the story of David and Bathsheba, where they had relations outside of marriage. And it's a long story of difficult things. And God said, the baby isn't going to live. And David was devastated. And he fasted and prayed for a week. And then when the baby died, he got up and he said, okay, this is God's decision. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. So interpretations could vary on this. You might think he was saying that David at some point dies, like the baby dies, or that at some point in the future, they would both be resurrected. But again, the answer isn't clear. So we can only come up with theories based on overarching themes in the Bible. What do we know about God from the whole reading of the Bible? And here are some things that we know from whole reading and from looking at overarching themes. He's merciful. He's the creator, and he's also the recreator. And he is trustworthy. I love this verse from Lamentations 3:21-23. This is from a hard time in Israel's history. Yet, he says, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So while we can't find a specific text that answers this question, we know that God could, in his mercy, give them life and bring them to heaven and on the earth made new, and that we can trust him to do the very most loving thing.
Thank you so much, Professor Patterson, for addressing this difficult question and just pointing us in the direction of hope and mercy, and that's who God is. And thank you so much for that, Professor Patterson. Pastor Flores, I want to turn to you here very quickly before our break. When it comes to this question, obviously there's this connotation that in the question that they go directly to heaven, and we talk about hope and mercy, but what does the Bible say about death and resurrection, and what would happen when they do die?
Thank you. And I just want to say thank you, Professor Patterson, for that answer. What a beautiful image of hope and a loving God. In regards to death and what happens when we die, there are a number of verses that kind of speak to this, but I want to point in particular this time to 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. Listen to what the Bible says here. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Notice how at the beginning of this passage, the Apostle Paul talks about we shall not all sleep. He is following a biblical understanding that when we die, we go to a rest. It's a state of rest that it's kind of like sleep until the moment, as he talks about, the trumpet will sound, Jesus comes again and the dead will be raised once again, not with the broken bodies that we had here on earth, but with new, imperishable, changed bodies, immortal bodies. Mm. And so when it comes to whether or not, you know, the people that die go directly to heaven, based on this verse and other verses in scripture, like I mentioned before, we can believe that those dead are actually resting. It wouldn't make sense for God to bring back people that are already in heaven into human bodies here on earth to resurrect them. They are resting until that great moment when the trumpet shall sound and we will have, and these babies will have, new and perfect bodies.
Thank you so much, Pastor Flores. And again, we're ending on a note of hope and a hope and just love of what God has for us and just knowing that He wants us all to live again. Thank you so much for that answer.
I would like to take this opportunity before we go to break to remind you that our website has resources like our mental health series that promises to explore some of the major issues that can affect our mental well-being and discover guidance from the Word of God on how to navigate some of life's toughest challenges. You can find this study and more on hope.study, so be sure to take a look.
If you prefer to study the old-fashioned way, we also have free Bible study guides that we can mail to you in North America. Just give us a call and leave us your address, and we will get those sent to you. We're going to take a quick break right now, but we'll be right back for more questions, so don't go away.
Welcome back to Bible Help Desk. Remember, you can call or text us your questions at 833-BIBLE-HD or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or on our website at hopetv.org/Bible Help Desk. Don't forget to watch to see if one of our guests answers your question.
And our guests answering your questions today are Pastor Flores and Professor Patterson. What's our next question?
Our next question comes to us via text from Hazel. And the question is, explain to me about burial or cremation. Which would God prefer for us? And Professor Patterson, we have a simple question here. Where can we find the answer to this question? Does God prefer us to be buried or cremated?
Hazel, that's an interesting question and makes me wonder what prompted you to ask it. Mm-hmm. Again, as much as we would like it to, Scripture doesn't always provide direct answers to all of our questions, and it does not provide an answer to this one. We know that Abraham and Moses, both people who talked to God, had burial. Abraham buried Sarah, and Moses was buried in the Valley of Moab, and God did not say he was displeased. It seemed that it was dishonorable not to be buried. There's a horrible story of Rizpah, whose two sons were killed, and they exposed them on a hill, and she stayed on a rock and just brushed away the birds and made sure the wild animals didn't eat them until David finally took pity and buried them. In Jeremiah, there's a passage where the evil will not be lamented or buried, and it says their carcasses will become food for the birds of the sky and the beasts of the earth. So the Bible does show that traditional burial was the standard practice, and Jesus was buried. But it doesn't say anything about cremation being wrong. It's interesting if you look through ecclesiastical history that the Catholic Church for millennia prohibited being cremated. And in the Middle Ages, when heretics were burned, they were burned because the idea was that God could not resurrect them. Jews also, for millennia, prevented people or prohibited people from being cremated, especially after the Holocaust, when millions of Jews were burned in the crematoriums. So just some things to consider if you're wondering about cremation or burial, and maybe at the case of a loved one, is what would the loved one want? Have you asked them? And what is most practical and healing for the people that will remain alive? Also, who are you going to honor in your community? So who is closest to the deceased, and what would it be that they would want? And really important, if you do cremate, what are you going to do with the ashes? It's important to have somewhere to visit, and it's important to have a place to put those ashes. couple interesting texts from Genesis 3:19 all the way at the beginning of the Bible. It talks about how God created us from dust. It says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. And again, from Ecclesiastes, it doesn't matter to the person who died, because we know the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. So thanks for that question. I hope that those answers will helpful.
Thank you, Professor Patterson, providing those verses too that we can look at as reference. Thank you for answering that. Thank you.
Well, let's jump into our last question that comes to us via text. And it says, will we go to hell if we forget to return our tithes and offerings? Sometimes I do forget to do it, and I was wondering if this would result in me going to hell. Wow, thank you for that question. Pastor Flores, I'm going to turn to you first with this question that was pretty straightforward about someone that is concerned, forgetting about the tithes and offering, which we can see that they want to do it, but they may forget. And what did this mean when it comes to going to hell? How does God see this? What does the Bible say?
Yes, good question. First of all, I do want to affirm the fact that you want to give tithe and offering, props for reading, you know, the scriptures and knowing that that is an important thing. But let's talk about the conscious or even subconscious belief that God is scrutinizing our behavior, finding a reason to potentially look at something where we messed up and maybe punish us or destroy us, take us to hell, as you ask in the question. You know, there are people today and throughout history that if you look, you'll find that they use the fear of hell in particular as motivation to adjust other people's actions and behaviors. But let's look at what 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 has to say. And this will give us an idea. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. It seems as if the Bible is telling us here that truly loving God doesn't come out of a fear of punishment. It says there's no fear in love. So if we don't have to fear punishment, does that mean that we can now do whatever we want, like not return tithe and offering? Well, Malachi 3 verses 8 and 9 do tell us that withholding, you know, tithes and offerings from God's storehouse, that's robbery, right? And I'm not going to read it word by word, but you can see it there on the screen. So God does see this as an important thing. And he also says to test him on this, and that he would bless us if we were faithful with our tithes and offerings. So to answer the original question, since tithes and offerings matter so much to God, will we go to hell if we forget? I think if we go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But listen to this. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I am so grateful that Jesus came down and made a way for us to have reconciliation with the Father in moments where we sin. And it seems as if the question is posed in a moment where you forgot to give your tithes and offerings. Jesus can help us cover those sins. But that doesn't mean that now you can withhold and rope God from that which he says we should return to him.
Thank you so much, Pastor Flores, for addressing this question and just pointing us in the direction of that advocate in Jesus, and that no matter the sin, he can forgive us and have that for us. Thank you so much, Pastor Flores. Professor Patterson, I want to end here with you on this question. Pastor Flores started us off with this great answer. And how else can we address this regarding hell, regarding paying tithe and sin? What can you see from the Bible?
First of all, I love the answer and the text that Pastor Flores pointed us to. I think I would say that sin isn't just a list of behaviors. Sin is anything that separates us from God. And the way that Jesus talked about it in the Sermon on the Mount was looking at the motive. Yeah. What is the motive behind your action? And as Pastor Flores says, if the motive is fear, then that is not a motive that God would want for you to have. Yeah. And it doesn't bode well for your relationship with Jesus. But if the motive is love and gratitude, then yes, pay your tithe. And if God has put it on your heart to pay tithe, pay tithe. And if something comes up and you're in a situation where you don't have income or you forgot, he is not looking for a way to zap you.
Yeah.
John 3:17 says, God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but so that the world through him might be saved. And that is his hope for you.
Wow. What a great note to finish on. Thank you so much for that answer and just that hope in Jesus and that he did not come to condemn us. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for both of you for joining us, Pastor Flores as well. Thank you for joining us. And Professor Patterson, thank you so much for being here with us.
We also want to thank you for watching and sending in your questions. We'll see you next week. Bye.